Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Is there anyone here this morning who likes being told how to do their job? No, I didn't think so. Me either. Nobody likes to have a coworker or even a supervisor come over and start telling them the right way to do something. When you're a skilled professional, it's just kind of annoying. But I'm sure that we can all agree that there is something even worse. When a person who knows absolutely nothing about your profession starts telling you how to do your job. Unsolicited advice from somebody who's skilled in your field can be irritating. But when somebody comes over who's never done your job and starts telling you how to do your job, well, that can lead to some really tense moments and create a big problem. So with that thought in mind, consider our gospel reading this morning. And put yourself in St. Peter's shoes for a minute. Now, Peter was a man who made his living as a professional fisherman. When you think of Peter, you might picture that stereotypical commercial fisherman, rugged, strong, ready to confront any challenge. The fisherman, even in the 21st century, has a very difficult and sometimes deadly job. Just imagine what it must have been like in the first century. Peter was definitely a man who knew how to do his job. But that didn't stop Jesus from telling him and his companions how to fish. Our Lord said to Peter and to this group of professional fishermen who had worked all night and caught nothing, "Launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a draft." Now, to our inexperienced ears, Jesus' words don't seem unreasonable. But if you were Peter, this is exactly the kind of fishing advice that you would expect to receive from a carpenter's son. "Peter, let's go fishing. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets." To a seasoned first century fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, that suggestion would have made no sense at all. These men who grew up fishing, whose families had fished these waters for generations, knew that that was not the way to catch fish. The professionals fished at night. And they fished the warm, shallow water that was close to shore. But Jesus, he was telling them to cast their nets into the deep, cold water in the middle of the day. Consider that fact for a moment. Jesus was not only telling these men how to do their job, he was telling them to do the exact opposite of what they'd always done. His advice was contrary to everything they knew and everything that they had experienced as professional fishermen. So the response that we would expect to hear from Peter is the response we'd expect to hear from the captain of any commercial fishing boat. "No. No. I'm the captain of this boat. I know how to fish, and that's not the way it's done. I'm not going to waste my time and money casting these nets in deep, cold water in the middle of the day." That's the response we expect. However, it's not the response that Peter offers. Instead, this is his startling reply. "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Peter was an experienced professional fisherman who certainly had a different idea of the best way to catch fish. Nevertheless, he responded to Jesus' word in obedience and faith. And we know how the story ends. We know the result of his obedience. Peter and his companions who'd fished all night and had caught nothing, because they were relying on their own knowledge and experience, let down their nets at Jesus' word. And they caught so many fish that their nets began to break. They called for their companions to help them, and the men loaded so many fish into these boats that they began to sink. Peter, when he witnessed this miracle, was so astonished that he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." To which Jesus replied, "Fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men." Theologians have always interpreted this passage as an account of Jesus calling his first disciples and giving them a lesson in evangelism. This was the day that they brought their ships to land, forsook all, and followed him. This was the day that they stopped casting their man-made nets in search of what would fill their stomachs and started casting the nets of grace and truth, of word and sacrament. Instead of hauling fish out of the sea that would die on the deck of the boat, these men lifted people out of the depths of sin and death and led them to the way of life and salvation. These men were called to cast the net of the gospel. And as they did, they certainly remembered the lesson our Lord taught them in the deep, cold water in the middle of the day. What they learned that day is that he is the great fisherman. They had fished all night, relying on their own knowledge and experience, and caught nothing. He directed them to cast their nets in a way that was contrary to everything they knew and everything they'd ever experienced. And their nets burst with a miraculous catch. When we are called to begin the work of building God's kingdom, he often calls us to cast his net in places that we never have before, and in ways that might seem like a waste of time and money. But in this gospel lesson, he assures us a miraculous catch. And even at those times when it seems like we've caught nothing, we can rely on the promise of God spoken through the prophet Isaiah. God said, "The word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." The events found in our gospel today took place 2,000 years ago, but they are particularly relevant. A person might even say providentially appointed as we prepared to cast the net of the gospel in a way unlike anything we've ever done before. As we consider this gospel lesson, it's important to remember that throughout church history, the image of the church and the people of God has always been that of a ship. If you were to look at a diagram of the different parts of a church building, you would discover that you are seated in what is called the nave. The word nave comes from the Latin word which means ship. You are in the ship. And our Lord has given the command, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. After hearing the gospel, how will you respond to his word? Will you rely on your own knowledge and experience and listen to that voice that tells you, stay close to shore? It's safe, it's comfortable in the shallow, lukewarm water. Just keep doing what you're doing. Fish your way. Live your way. Or like St. Peter, will you choose to chart a different course? The course of obedience and faith. the course of obedience and faith to our Lord's command is going to look a little bit different for all of us. Because on a ship and in God's church, the duties that must be carried out are many and various. This month, one person might show their obedience by signing up to help at the fair, while another might express their faithfulness by committing to worship God in his church every Sunday. And yet another may chart this course of obedience and faith through daily fervent prayer for the needs of the church and the people of God. There are countless ways that we can leave the lukewarm, shallow water behind us and launch out into the deep. In conclusion, just once more, put yourself in Peter's shoes. Okay? And not as you see him today, as a saint in God's church, but as he was on that day 2,000 years ago, as a rugged fisherman just trying to make a living on the Sea of Galilee. On that day, Peter and his companions had no idea what God was preparing them for. They had no clue that they would be eyewitnesses to the redemption of the world, and that through their life and ministry, by the grace of God, billions of people would be led to faith in Christ. Put yourself in Peter's shoes and recognize that this is how it begins for all of us. As our story unfolds, we have no idea what God is preparing us for. And this side of heaven, we may never know the future significance of our present obedience. Peter went to his death never knowing that 2,000 years later, in a little church named after his brother, we would be learning from his example, his faithful response to the word of God. May God grant us the humble obedience of unquestioning faith, that we may, like Peter, cast his net when and where he commands. Because for what Jesus said to Peter, he says to us, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.